Oh, amen. Isn't it good to be in church? Amen. I'm telling you what, there's answers and power when we come to the altar, when we come to the King who's above all kings. Friends, what we have here at Word of Life Church and what we have in tonight's service is a time where God's power can be on display. See, Satan, he's not afraid of a big church. He's not afraid of a grand church or a multi-million dollar facility. That doesn't scare him. What scares Satan is not a big church. What scares Satan is a united church. When a church comes together with one heart, one voice, one mind, with no division, no separation, and they come under one name, and that is the name above every other name, the name of Jesus, and lift up a voice, and lift up a prayer, and lift up a heart's cry. That is what he is afraid of. And when us as the body come together in unity, we lift up our voice, it enables God to do miraculous things in the earth. In the book of Acts, they were so in one accord, so hot for Christ, so united with one another, that literally the building began to shake when they prayed. When they lifted up their voice, the power of God so filled the atmosphere that literally the building began to shake. And out of that, a revival hit their community that lasted generations and brought us all the way to this place. Friend, that was with just 120 or so. That was just with a handful of believers in a room. Tonight, we have hundreds of people in this room united. What could come out of this place? What changes could be made in our nation? What changes could be made in our city? What changes could be made in our families and in our lives? I want to encourage you. One touch from God can change everything. It can change everything. It can change everywhere men have failed and tried to change things. One touch from God can change everything. And it's up for us as believers, up to us as believers, to come together and say, you know what? We're not going to allow Satan to have our nation. We're not going to allow him to have our land. We're not going to allow him to have our families. We're not going to allow him to have our communities. We're not going to allow him to have our lives, our children. We put our foot down and say, no, the buck stops here. You back off of God's property. See, we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And friends, the blood of the Lamb has been poured out by Jesus on that cross over 2,000 years ago. But friend, if that was enough, we wouldn't be seeing all that we're seeing in our world today. Friends, the blood of the Lamb is the first ingredient. But friends, we have to add to that blood the word of our testimony, where we refuse to be silent, but we lift up our voice and we proclaim blessing over our land, blessing over our families, blessing over our lives. And God begins to work with the word, confirming it with signs following. And so we're going to have a time just in God's presence tonight. And I want to encourage you, don't just allow the team up here to lift up their voice. Everyone in here, be our participator, not just a spectator. And begin to lift up your voice. And maybe that's by singing the songs, but not just singing them, but pouring out your heart. Or maybe it's just simply praying for your family or our nation during this time, or for some people later on who may be coming to the altar. But I want to encourage you tonight to lift up your voice. Don't lose due to silence. Lift up your voice and begin to proclaim the word of God over your life. Amen. Amen. Let's do it corporately now. Let's go before the Father in prayer. You guys can be seated here, but keep playing behind me. Father, we come before you today. We love you, Lord, so much. We thank you, Father. What can be accomplished out of a united church is absolutely earth-shaking. And so, Father, we come together tonight with one heart, one voice, one mind, and we lift up our voice collectively and say, God, bless and heal our land. God, bless and heal our communities. God, bless and heal our bodies. God, bless and heal our churches. God, bless and heal our families. God, let your miraculous power be on display. Father, we don't want to have a cute church. We want to have a powerful church. We don't want just things in theory. We want a living, breathing testimony of your glory on display in our lives. So, Father, what we ask for tonight is that you would stretch forth your hand to heal. Every person here who needs a touch from you, give them that touch. Every person, Father, who needs divine guidance, Father, in this service, give them that guidance. Father, every person who needs wisdom, Christ has been made unto us wisdom. Give them that wisdom. Father, every person who needs just a refreshing and an energizing, quicken them by your Spirit in their mortal bodies. Father, we thank you. Your healing power is on display here. And Father, we send your healing power and your touch to communities that need it. Father, we say in Jesus' name that you are washing over our nation with power, that you are washing over our nation with mercy and grace. That, Father, we know that as we watch the news, there's so many ugly things that can be seen. But, Father, we refuse in the face of these things to be silent. And, Father, we say where darkness does abound, light will abound so much the more that we will not sit back and be bystanders and allow Satan to have our homes and our communities and our nation. We say, no, you back off in Jesus' name. We rebuke you. We bind you. And, Father, you said in your word, what we would bind on earth, you would bind in heaven. We bind that mess in Jesus' name. We say injustice we will no longer tolerate. Hate we will no longer tolerate. We bind you in Jesus' name. We kick you out of our communities. We speak peace and life and justice in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, we thank you that as we loose your angels and we loose your power, that they go forth in the earth and cause healing to happen in our homes, in our communities, in our nation. We love you, Father. Help us serve you. Help us live for you. Help us draw near to you. We thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to play a video in a minute. And while they play the video, I'm just going to ask the ushers team if you can move the table and the chairs, and yeah, and can you hand me that water and handkerchief? Perfect. Thank you, sir. We're going to have a night of healing tonight. And what we mean by a night of healing is just we're going to expect to see God's power be demonstrated and encountered. And with that encounter, what we're hoping for is for your life to experience a touch of the divine. Now, I think in all of our lives, that looks different. Maybe for you, it just means you're refreshed and you walk out of this place just with a breath of fresh air. Maybe for you, it's something far more miraculous. Maybe here tonight, there's a part of your body that is broken. I believe tonight, even in prayer, that just sitting here in the service, that even broken bones will begin to mend, and lacerations and scars will begin to be lifted, and intestinal problems will begin to be cured, and bowel obstruction will begin to be healed. I got some of these things in prayer. I just believe just you sitting here, just you sitting here, the power of God is going to begin to work in your mortal body. But maybe tonight you need something in your life physically. We believe we serve a God who is still the healer. We believe that when Jesus walked the face of the earth, he expressed the image of God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And there's one thing we see Jesus doing over and over and over and over again. It is manifesting the Father's love and compassion through signs, wonders, and miracles. We believe you can see that in your life today, not because we're specialists like Peter and John. Don't look on us. We couldn't heal a gnat's wing, as Brother Hagin used to say. No, don't look on us. It's not by our own power or by our own holiness that miracles will be wrought in the presence of you all. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. And here's the thing, we believe that as we stretch forth our hands, it's just symbolic of him stretching forth his hand. And we believe that when we speak the name of Jesus, it is just like Jesus himself doing the work, because he said in his word that whatsoever you will ask in my name, I will do it. I'll make it my personal responsibility to manifest that thing in the earth. And so what we're going to do tonight is we're just going to lay hands on you in Jesus' name if you need a touch from God in your body. And while we're doing that, I want to encourage everyone who may not need that touch, once again, to don't be a spectator. That's the worst thing you can do. Don't just be sitting and looking at what's going on in the altar. No, be a participator. We are blessed with some fantastic, fantastic talent on this stage who's not only skilled at playing and skilled at singing, but they are anointed to do it, and there's a big difference. And so we want to encourage you to join in with them and begin to lift up your voice. The first two songs are going to be about healing, and I just want you to proclaim that over your life. If you're coming down to the altar, I want you to proclaim these songs over your life. Just sing along with us. We place these songs in this order to be a confession of faith for you. The woman with the issue of blood, when she pursued after Jesus and pressed through that multitude, the Bible records that while she was pressing, she was saying, "When I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well." There's something about saying, friends. There's something about getting your words on what you want. And we're going to lift up the name of Jesus and its healing power tonight. And I want to encourage you to use these songs, especially for those of you who may be coming to the altar, as more than just a sing-along, but as a declaration. A declaration over your life, a declaration over your body, a declaration over your circumstances, a declaration over whatever may be attacking your physical body. Sing these songs as a declaration of faith. It is powerful. See, in 1 Corinthians, there's a scripture I love. It's found in chapter 10. They'll put it up on the screens. Verse 4, it's talking about the children of Israel, and it's going through the manna and all those things. And it gets to a point in the story here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 where it talks about when the water came from the rock. And notice what it says here. And if you have that in the Amplified, that'd be great. 1 Corinthians 10, 4. Can you pull it up in the Amplified for me real quick? That'd be wonderful. If not, I'm okay. Waiting. Yes. Yes. No. Yes. Yes. Wave. No. I can read it from that. Just need thumbs up. Okay. Hold on. Is that what I'm getting? Okay. Yes. There we go. Notice it says, and they all drink from the same spiritual, supernaturally given drink. For they drank from a spiritual rock, notice this, which followed them. Notice, keep going. Produced by the sole power of God himself without any natural instrumentality. And that rock was Christ. And notice the two examples it gives. Go back, if you will, in 1 Corinthians 10, 4. Notice, it gives two examples, Exodus 17 and verse 6 and Numbers chapter 20 and verse 11. Now, we won't take the time to look at those scriptures because I think all of you are familiar with them. It's talking about the children of Israel and how they drank from the water that came from the rock. How many of you remember that story? This water comes in the middle of a wilderness and ministers life to the children of Israel. And if you remember the first time that water came from the rock, what happened? Moses stood on the rock and what did he do? He smote it. He hit that rock with his stick in the presence of all the elders of Israel. And when he hit that rock, when he smote it, what happened to that rock? Water and life began to flow from that rock. Now, we know that this was not the only time this happened. And the next time they encountered another wilderness and the people are complaining all over again and Moses goes to God and God tells him, look, we're going to make water come from the rock again. But here's what I want you to do. Instead of smiting the rock this time, what did God tell Moses he wanted him to do? You need to speak to the rock, Moses. If you want water to flow, Moses, you need to speak to the rock. Now, all of these things in the Old Testament, God had them do to be types and shadows for us in the New Testament. And when they were dealing with this rock, the New Testament comes back in Pauline's revelation and says, look, this rock was not just a rock, it's a type and shadow of Christ. That if you want to understand how to receive life for your life, you need to understand the principle of the rock. See, Jesus, he is our rock. He is our chief cornerstone. Upon him, we build our life. Upon him, we find our healing. Upon him, we find our restoration. And the reason why we find life in the rock of Christ is because over 2,000 years ago, the Father struck him. He was struck. And when he was struck on that cross, water began to flow to all of humanity. Healing began to flow to all of humanity. Because we know it wasn't just a spiritual strike, it was also a physical strike. That by his stripes we are what? We are healed. So when God smote him, when that smite came upon him, water began to flow to all of humanity because our rock is Christ. But notice, we're going to come in times in our life where we need more of that life-giving water. And when it comes to following and accepting and participating in that life-giving water, we don't have to smite the rock again. No, the rock has already been smitten. Jesus doesn't have to be crucified again. He doesn't have to come back to the earth again. We don't need him to do anything else again. No, he's already been smitten. Water is flowing to us all. But guess what we have to do? We have to call upon that name, and all who call upon that name shall be saved. What are you doing when you're calling upon that name? You are speaking to your rock. And friend, I want to encourage you tonight. That's exactly what we want to do in this place. We want to speak to our rock because our rock is Christ. We want to magnify his healing. We want to boast in his goodness. We need to speak to our rock. And I want to encourage you tonight as you're standing here at the altar, or while you're sitting there in the seat, or while you're standing there in your aisle, that you begin to speak to your rock. Call him your healer and watch his healing, life-giving water flow to you. Call him your provider. Watch his provision begin to flow. Call him the restorer of your soul and watch in this moment, in this service tonight, his life-giving water begin to restore your soul. Call him your guide and watch him lead you beside still waters. Speak to your rock. Don't smite it all over again. Don't come and say, Jesus, we just need you to do something. And no, he doesn't need to be smitten. The water is already flowing. We need to speak to our rock and say, Jesus, I receive you as my healer. I rest in your healing. I receive healing tonight. Jesus, you are my healer. And then I want to ask you to not only tonight do that, I want to ask you to take a step of faith. I want to encourage you that when people are praying for you and when you're praying tonight, believe you receive when you pray. Believe you've got it. Years ago, I was praying for someone, and they were dealing with some serious issues with their back, and I was standing there, I was praying for them, and they were struggling with all of this. They were kind of new to our style of church, and I just said, I really believe God's power is on you, and if you would participate with it, I believe you can feel it and see a change in your body. And so he's kind of looking at me like a cow at a new gate, and so I just keep encouraging him, and I lay my hands on his back, and I know God wants to heal him, and I said, look, if we're believing we received when we prayed and we're believing for your back, I want you to just go ahead and bend over. And he's like, well, no, I can't bend over. I've got a problem with my back. I'm like, no. But we're believing for your back to be healed. So if we're believing we received when we prayed, go ahead and like the man with the withered hand, stretch forth your hand. And I told him, I said, Jesus told the man with the withered hand to stretch forth his hand. I said, that man could have argued with Jesus all day long about, I'm the man with the withered hand. If I could stretch forth my hand, I would stretch forth my hand. I mean, after all, I'm known as the man with the withered hand. You didn't even give me a name in Scripture. You just called me the man with the withered hand. And if I could stretch forth my hand, I'd stretch forth my hand. I'm the man with the withered hand. But I said, you know what that guy did? He took Jesus at his word.
And he stretched forth his hand, and I said, when he did, he saw a miracle. I said, it's the same thing with the lepers. Jesus told them, go show yourselves to the priest. They couldn't do that legally until they were perfectly cleansed, but they took Jesus at his word and took a step of faith. And so I said, just try it. And so he bent over, and he barely could. And I said, okay, go again. And he bent over a little bit more. And I said, okay, do it again. And he bent over a little bit more until finally this guy is like an acrobat just bending over, and he's rejoicing, and God's power meets him there in that moment. And he saw a miracle in his life that day, and just tears of joy coming down. And he wanted to, you know, brag on the church. I said, no. Look, you took it with your faith. You took this miracle with your faith. You showed Jesus. You believed, you received when we prayed. And you weren't waiting on something. You took it. You took it with your faith. And I want to encourage you to do that as well. We're going to watch a quick video tonight of a healing testimony where you can see it's still God's will to heal. This is someone who was healed at our last night of healing. I believe we're going to see many more healings at tonight's night of healing. But I just want you to watch this video and let it build your faith.
Praise God.
Amen. Isn't God good? Come on now. Isn't God good? He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is the healer. Now, I want you to notice that phrase, he went down and took his healing. And as you read scripture, you see all of these acts of aggression. The woman with the issue of blood pressing through the multitude and taking hold of the hem of his garment. The man who was a paralytic born by four, the aggression, tearing off a roof and lowering their friend down. All these stories, the blind man calling out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. It wasn't passive. It wasn't hope so. It was no, I'm not going to allow my miracle to pass me by. I'm going to take hold of the power of God. And when you come to the altar tonight, I want you to rise up with your faith and to believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Come to take your healing. Take it for your family. Take it for your body. Come tonight to take your healing. Amen. Amen. So here's how we'll do it. You know, it works best if we do it this way. If you're dealing with any type of symptom in your body, what we're going to say is everyone stand up. As everyone stands up, we'll go back into worship. So if you don't need healing, you just stay right where you're at, and we'll continue to worship and praise and all of those things. If you do need healing, begin to come down to the altar and line up in a single file line here. It just makes it easier to minister to people that way. And any of the excess, because we sometimes, you know, it's more than people that can fill up the altar. Any excess, if you can line up on the sides, if you can line up on the sides of the sanctuary and then begin to flow in that way as people go back to their seats. As you're being seated, if you can go back up the center aisles that way, that would be great. Amen. Amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet all over this place. Father, we love you tonight. You are the healer. We magnify you, Lord Jesus. You're such a good, good Father. Show yourself strong. I want to ask those who have asked to come down and help pray, come down and stand before the people tonight and just kind of line up all over. And Bart and Margaret, you guys can come down. Miss Angie, why don't you come down and just kind of line up on either side. And Pat, why don't you work with Kaylee? That'd be great. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, now you guys can just come down. If you need a touch from God in your body, if you need the healing power of God manifested in your midst, just begin to come down and stand in one single line here. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We're going to go back into worship, and I want you to praise God like nobody's business tonight. Praise Him for yourself, but also create an atmosphere of faith for those who are here at the altar. Amen? Remember, sometimes we can bring people to Jesus with our own faith. Let your worship tonight bring these people to Jesus. As we lift up the name of Jesus, as we magnify Him as our healer, begin to get in faith, even in the audience, that God's going to show Himself strong. Amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord tonight.